This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Turn it up. Let's go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Their reaction was...
Was what?
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
No, that's your interpretation. How should Michigan have reacted to Alabama being announced as their opponent?
Today's guest, ESPN college football analyst Robert Griffin III, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, comedian Stavros Halkias, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Here we go!
Here we go!
All right.
You gotta do the clap.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, everybody? We're live on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners. I had a great time with Susie and Amy Trask on the What the Football pod. I chatted with them for a good long while. That podcast is available for you to listen to wherever you get your pods. It's also on our YouTube feed. Same thing with Overreaction Monday. What we were overreacting to Monday, I guarantee you, is worthy of still overreacting to today. 100%. There really hasn't very much, not much has changed in the NFL world between that time that that pod came out and Wednesday. And all 3 hours of this show you can listen to whenever you want later on as well, thanks to our relationship with Westwood One and the Cumulus Podcast Network. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this show. I must say, he does not do this quite often because he's one of those coaches who's, you know, locked in and does his media availability locally, but nothing, not too much else. So we're thrilled to have Mike McDaniel zooming into this program in hour number two. That's when Bruce Feldman will stop by. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about with him from Fox Sports and The Athletic. Hour number three, Stavros Halkias will be in this studio. Never met him. Funny guy, funny show.
Funny guy.
An hour number three.
Yeah, man.
RG3 will be up in about 17, 18 minutes' time to talk about this upcoming Saturday's Heisman Trophy ceremony. And, of course, the, I guess, conversation in the college football world as well as the NFL world. My colleague David Carr had something to say on NFL Total Access last night that the Eagles should sit Jalen Hurts until he is healthy, fully healthy, because the offense, that's why the offense isn't looking so great. Although I'm sure Western New York Buffalo Bills fans thought he looked pretty damn healthy in the fourth quarter and overtime, certainly galloping in the end zone to wrap that thing up. But that's just what happens. One loss, one boat race loss to the 49ers, and things kind of start going in the other direction in a media conversation. RG3, I can't wait to ask him what his two cents on that subject matter with the Eagles and Dallas Cowboys playing each other on Sunday. How are you, Chris Brockman? Good to see you over
Rich,
there.
I'm watching Drake May highlights. I'm ready to go.
What? Why?
He was trending. I clicked on him, and now I'm like ready for him to wear the Patriots colors.
DJ Mikey, is that part of the memorandum that we have right here?
Yeah.
Does it make that part of the memo?
I think we should.
I don't know. I mean, you get number one overall. You choose. You leave Caleb Williams on the board. I don't know what your memorandum is all
about. We're sitting
number
two right now. That's all. You know what I'm saying?
DJ Mikey D, how are you, sir? Good to see
you.
Good
morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, the candle's been lit for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you over there. Good to see you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. LeBron James, baby. How about that? Last night, lost. We're talking in-season tournament to kick off this program. Tip it off.
Controversy.
And straight up, you know, I was one of those who were very skeptical about this because it's basically the world we live in right now is let's just take something that's the same thing you get mostly and put a plus at the end of it, make you feel like you're getting something new.
Life Plus.
Life Plus.
TJ Plus.
TJ Plus is TJ Plus. Definitely something we heard about.
Mm-hmm. We're going to need some of that at some point.
I don't condone what you're talking about. Apparently, somebody up there, where, in Santa Barbara?
Yeah, shout out to Lee.
Saying it's TJ Plus. There's something he's growing in his backyard.
He's a botanist,
named
Rich.
Named it TJ Plus.
He's a botanist. That's what he does.
Hey, and so I guess, what is this, NBA Plus? Right?
Sure.
Same old November stuff. Early December stuff, you know, game 23, game 22 of a season. But no, it's plus.
Plus,
because players get the bag, as Darvin Ham said after the game last night.
Giannis was legit shocked. He's like, I just made money tonight?
He
They didn't even know. He didn't even know. He got, what, 50K for winning last night?
I just thought the floor was different. I just wanted to see that huge trophy that's on the floor in the bowling alley lane. I just wanted to see if I could run that entirety without dribbling in just three steps and score.
I did it.
Which, by the way, happened last night.
He can do it.
He dribbled at half court and then took three Euro steps and got to the basket. Very impressive, but still traveling. That said, not the reason why the Knicks lost to the Bucks last night.
Not in Europe.
by any stretch of the imagination. But it felt different. It really got intense, and it felt fun. Like, that felt like an April-May game, and that's what the league is looking for. That's what the league wants. Lakers-Suns, LeBron, Durant, Anthony Davis, Booker, so on, so forth. Frank Vogel, back in the downtown Hoops Dojo.
Yep.
Where, you know, I would say he won the championship, but that was actually in Disney World. But be that as it may.
Asterix.
Be that as it may. That's the way it's supposed to feel. And then what they want is the stars shining. They want the stars shining. LeBron James, last night, this guy is, I mean, he's unbelievable. He is truly unbelievable. You run out of adjectives at this point in time. 31 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 5 steals. Of his 31 points, 15 of them came in the final frame, and that's the end of that. 106-103 the final. Lots of fun. The Lakers move on to Las Vegas to the semifinals. They'll be taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, who, by the way, have Zion Williamson. It looks like he's going to make his 6th consecutive start, something he probably last did when he played for Coach K. You know, and it's you see him and Ingram and C.J. McCollum. Well, that's the stuff. That's what New Orleans has been waiting for, right? So that'll be fun. And then it'll be Bucks and Pacers. That'll be fun. And good times. That's what you want. And then we learned last night, once again, every single time you're wondering what LeBron James can't do, right? And he does it all. He scores, he rebounds, he runs the floor, he creates. He's the all-time leading scorer. He's closing in on Karl Malone for second place in minutes played. At some point, we assume he's going to track down Kareem in most minutes played there. And then last night, he finally did something I've never seen, which is get a timeout awarded to you when you don't have possession of the ball. Now that... is
truly special.
Now that may be LeBron's greatest trick. May be the Kaiser Soze of this whole thing.
LeBron James.
Not the possession timeout you're looking for. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that ball was loose.
Just rolling around.
I thought Austin Reeves traveled first.
He thought he was going to get a foul called because he felt like he got bumped from behind.
Dude, I am best dad ever. You see the sign here. I'm proud of that. Hey, I am sitting watching a ton of Taylor's 10-year-old basketball games. She's in the playoffs. She's advanced.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The 10-year-old in-season tournament?
It's not in-season. It's the end of their season. Oh, and the floor is the same. They don't change the floor. Uniforms are the same.
Oh, weird.
But I'm seeing a lot of traveling calls because the refs in these games, they are on it. Because it's not just a competition. They're teaching at the same time.
They're 10. They should know the rules.
But they're calling trap. The number of times I have seen one of these young ladies take a step before dribbling, and they whistle it, travel. That's what Austin Reeves did last night. Yeah. It's exactly what he did. Like, if it was Goldie's Basketball League here in Southern California, God bless you, Goldie, diehard Celtic fan. Hey. The two of you are like this.
Yeah.
Okay. And with Coop, too. Anyway, long story short, the number of times that I've seen that called, I've lost track in the NBA. Keep going, Austin, and then lose the ball, and we'll give the timeout to LeBron. Now, I've watched it back tons of times. You can hear LeBron, by the way, way off the ball on the other side, right next to an official, by the way. You can hear him say timeout because the TNT mics were everywhere. You could hear it. But to say that was not a ball in dispute between multiple players at the time, that you're just going to stop that play from...
What are we doing?
with mere seconds to go in a one-possession game in a backcourt? Now, had that been ruled a loose ball, I don't know, Grayson Allen was kind of close to the end line and picking it up.
Well, it seems like he stopped really hustling because
they stopped.
They had stopped play, yeah. He would have clearly had the ball.
The pool report after the game,
I also needed overtime for the over.
Oh, good. Look at you, man. I now you're on your own. Now I got to turn my back on you, to use a good fella's phrase. You know? Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. The pool report is called, here's called, pool report on the timeout called in the final minute of tonight's Phoenix Suns at Los Angeles Lakers game. Dateline, December 6th. The pool report interview is conducted by Jovan Buha of The Athletic with crew chief. By the way, they make great Winky Dinky, the crew chief at Winky Dinky Dog.
Winky Dinky Dog.
At least
dog.
It wasn't the assistant crew chief.
Oh, no, no.
By the way,
that'd be too disrespectful.
I know you and I are locked in on the Hollywood shuffle, right?
No, and them cakes, too. They got to eat.
Crew chief, Josh Tiven. Question. Why were the Lakers awarded a timeout when it appeared that they did not have possession of the ball? Great question.
Great, fair question.
By the
question.
Way, it's like, hey.
To the point.
The context is, you blew it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, what did you see? Hey, why were the Lakers awarded a timeout when it appeared that they did not have possession of the ball? By the way, the economy of words, outstanding.
Well done.
I like that.
Tiven. During live play, the official felt that L.A. still had possession of the ball when LeBron James requested the timeout. Through post-game video review and slow-motion replay, we did see that Austin Reeves had his left hand on the ball while it's pinned against his left leg, which does constitute control. Question, who called the timeout that was rewarded? Tiven, LeBron James did. End of pool report.
Well, LeBron did it, so...
Great. So
does that help?
That's what happens.
Now, here's what I don't understand. Again, by the way, if the NFL doesn't want me, I'm available for the NBA competition committee too. They should put me on all competition committees. I'll be very I'm a value add. I believe. If Frank Vogel cannot challenge that, which he was told during the game, we can't challenge that.
Why do we have replay?
Then why are you checking the video after the game?
Okay.
Because you know you're going to be asked that in the pool report and you want to know for sure? Like, yeah, you had to review it.
I feel you.
Right? So if it's close enough that you had to take a look at it afterwards... then why can't we use it in real time to fix it? Why isn't that reviewable? I don't think it's... I think whether someone has possession of the ball is as... what would you say? Unsubjective as whether a toe's out of bounds, right? Mm. Correct? Or whether the shot clock has expired before a ball leaves a hand. Like, that's as simple as, like, do you have possession... Now... unless possession is subjective. Is it? And now, did Austin Reeves not survive the ground? You know what I'm saying? Like, ball pinned against leg is still the same as ball, like, locked in hand between two hands? Is that what I'm understanding in the NBA? Man, that was a loose ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, what the Suns would have done with it, I don't know.
Gave it to Durant.
But I would love to have seen it. And I know you would have loved to have seen overtime for your wagering. How dare you? But.
It's a Tuesday. What am I supposed to do?
But of course, you know, I'm sure that's out there. I think you even said it. Fix is in. Come on.
Rich.
Give the NBA a break.
Rich.
Donaghy was a long time ago, brother.
Whoa, whoa.
Come on.
This is the first
season.
The first season of the in-season tournament.
You want LeBron there.
Hold on. Do you know what the name of the trophy is that they're giving out for the in-season tournament?
The LeBron James trophy?
The David Stern trophy.
Oh, God, this guy.
The king,
frozen envelopes?
The king of
is
frozen,
it a frozen
envelopes?
Envelope? Is it a frozen envelope?
Leaking information to the New York Post. What else?
Get out of here.
We can go on and on and on.
Oh, there's
and
other things he would be known
ain't
for.
Ain't nobody watching the playoffs.
Well, Durant?
Or going to the games.
Durant ain't it?
If the Lakers
are Durant
involved.
Ain't it. Durant's not it.
Look, the Celtics were already out. Knicks are out. They needed some big star team.
How about don't turn the ball over 10 times in the first quarter? How about that? Right? How about that?
Name more than two players on the Suns.
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. I think there is going to be a huge...
There would be
a huge Josh Okogie run-up to tip-off.
You have
I get your point.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Come on, man.
You know.
Get out of here. obviously LeBron
Grayson
James.
Allen
LeBron James
fans are out there.
Don't turn the ball over. I think even Frank Vogel said that after the game.
If they didn't turn it over ten times. Didn't pass the sniff
test.
They
got hammered on the boards.
Smelled fishy in the dojo.
Bowls on the sun.
So all right, look at us talking NBA in season tournament. I could have talked about the Jets and Zach Wilson. I turned that down, buddy.
You don't talk about the Knicks getting blasted by 40?
I mean, what's the point? I mean, does that surprise you?
Julius Randle played great.
What was that, the entirety of last season? Julius Randle played great. Jalen Brunson played great. And then when it finally came time to beating the big boys, they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So
Bucks are going to be there at the end.
By the way, the Heat wound up being the big boys last year.
Right. Also, I just want to get this stat out about LeBron. This is Zach Graham on The Ringer. Before last night, the oldest players ever to have 30 points, 10 assists, 5 steals in a game, they were 32 years old.
Unbelievable.
Allen Iverson, Walt Frazier. LeBron did it last night, and he's going to be 39 end of the month.
Dude, every single record that Brady set for the oldest in the NFL, LeBron is going to shatter. And
absolutely.
Good luck to anybody to ever attempt it.
No one's ever going to break the scoring record. I know you never say never, Coach Tomlin, but I'm saying never.
Well, I mean, if you allow three steps from the half court line.
I don't even think that'll matter because they'll have to do that for 21 years.
Nice. You're right. All right, let's take a break here, guys.
Let's do it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Robert Griffin III is coming on to talk about Heisman Trophy and so much more. Mike McDaniel's on this program, two in-studio guests. I mean, you can't get further, I guess, from the spectrum of Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Stavros Halkias, the comedian, right?
He could be
Can't wait for Bruce's Netflix.
Honestly, I don't believe Bruce's latest tome was entitled Fat Rascal, which is the title of Stavros's Netflix special.
Bruce could be low-key hilarious. We'll give him a chance to shine.
Fat Rascal, Stavros Halkias, and Thin Rascal, Wiry Rascal, Bruce Feldman.
Bruce is going to do a tight five at the end of the
All right. Let's throw it a break. Here we go!
Here we go!
Robert Griffin III. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. The number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Back here on the program, it appears Mike McCarthy is having his appendix taken out in an emergency procedure.
Yeah.
He had stomach pain this morning, and he has appendicitis, and he anticipates coaching Sunday night. The Cowboys' three coordinators will run practice today until McCarthy returns, so apparently he's going to be released tonight. That's it. Have any of you ever had your appendix taken out?
No. Knock on wood, no. Nope. Every time I have a little bit of stomach pain, I am worried about that.
Right?
You hear it happen all the time. Like, this pain wouldn't go away. And or I just finally went to the... Or did I just have too much Mexican? You know, you never know.
I don't know then. It just doesn't agree with you.
You never know, yeah. We're getting older. We got to watch what we
eat. I understand that, sir.
I can tell you all about that.
Look, health is obviously the most important thing. So I would say just that from a human side, don't rush back. Michigan proved you can win a game without your coach on the sideline. So
three of them.
Yeah.
And the biggest game of the year in the rivalry game. That's so what you got.
Get healthy. That's the most important.
I'm taking the Eagles.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He should hopefully.
Nah, he should be all right.
You know. Yeah, I don't know what getting your appendix. Like I said, I've never taken that.
I don't know. Should we crowdsource it?
Joe Burrow missed a month.
You want me to just go do it?
He's playing.
Tell you guys what it's about?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be. One of our callers has had to have gotten theirs out. They'll call and they'll tell us what it feels like.
I went right back to work.
844-204-RICH.
There we go.
Here we go. Appendix out.
Oh, yeah. Appendix minus.
That's also crazy, you know, human evolution, guys. Like, there are things in our body we don't need to survive.
Just get it out.
Yeah, right?
Cut it right out. We don't need it anymore.
What am I going to replace it with? Nothing.
Nothing. It's going to be fine.
Tonsils.
All right. So that's the latest from Dallas. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, I'm sitting, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. And Grainger wants to let you know with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Normally, it's kind of just to stop by. And then we were reached out to by the Heisman Trust folks saying, hey, RG3 wants to talk about the More Than a Trophy campaign.
Let's do it.
And I'm like, he's an anytime guest, literally anytime. And that time is anytime is right now. Back here on the show is RG3. How are you, Robert? Good to see you.
I'm doing great, Rich. Appreciate you having me on.
What do you have behind you? What are those action figures? What do you got there?
Funko Pops. I'm a Funko Pop collector.
You are?
I
think we have a John McClane one. Don't we have one?
We have the guy from Game of Thrones, Sir Davos.
Okay, we got a Sir Davos.
Sir Davos right here.
Signed by Sir Davos.
Oh, you got it. Look at that. Look at T. Hold on. Show it. What do you think, RG3?
Sir Davos.
There he is.
Game of Thrones. I don't have any personally signed Funkos like that, but I've got a couple, you know, Chase variants back here. You know, Dragon Ball Z, little King Aragorn from Lord of the Rings, Frodo. So. You know, I enjoy myself a little bit.
Do you have a Feinbaum one? You got a Paul Feinbaum one back there?
I don't, but I think Paul Feinbaum might have an SEC one somewhere, like the crescent of just the, or maybe of Greg's.
He's got
he's probably got one of them.
Yeah, you could have a Harbaugh one. I don't know.
Don't have a Harbaugh one.
All right.
You might.
I don't want to get you in trouble. Already Desmond got in trouble a little bit earlier this week. Hey, listen, let's talk about two groups of four. Starting with the college football playoff Final Four, what is your opinion on that subject matter, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, the committee got it wrong, and really their decision is final. It's over, done with, not so much bothered by that anymore, although I thought it was a travesty for college football. I've been more so bothered by some of the coverage trying to excuse the decision by people in our industry.
What do you got?
What has bothered me is the focus on the money. You know, we've had people talk about how it's all about the money and they're picking the best matchups to make the most money. And that's not their job. Their job is to pick the four best teams. And the four best teams is not based off the eye test or what conference you play in. The four best teams is based off of something that's extremely subjective, that includes conference championships, how many games you win, how many games you lose, comparative teams that you've played. And there's one thing that's not like the rest. And it's the fact that Florida State did not lose a game this year, regardless of who their quarterback was. And I think that they were wrong to not put them in. They're a Power Five undefeated conference champion. That should trump anything else. And they should have been put in over Alabama. The discussion should have been between Texas and Alabama. And if the SEC wanted to get a team in, well, they would have had Texas, because Texas is basically an SEC school.
Well, they will be next year, right? You know, they will be next year. You know, I mean, it really... it really was. I felt for Mike Norvell. I really did. When I saw him and he, like, what do you say to your kids? Like, you balled out. You're 13-0. You know, what do you say to the backup quarterback who got concussed? You know, and just basically, he's got to be sitting there thinking, my level of play and what they view me in that college football playoff committee room cost this entire program. You know what I mean? that's not fair for him to think that, but I wouldn't blame him for sitting there and thinking it. It's awful.
It's awful, but it's not fair to Tate Rodemaker or to Jordan Travis, because I saw Travis's tweet that he put out basically saying that he was sorry. And no, he doesn't have anything to be sorry for, and neither does Tate. He didn't have anything to feel sorry for. And I've seen a lot of people use that in their rationale to be like, oh, man, I'm heartbroken. Man, gutted for Florida State. But, like, no, there is no gutted but. The bottom line is we preach the team, the team, the team. We preached that it's about the team, and then when it comes down to it, the College Football Selection Committee decided that it wasn't about the team, that it was about one guy. And the fact that they won their conference championship with their third-string quarterback, beating a Louisville team, and only held them to 6 points when they averaged over 30 points a game, I think that's a pretty damn good team, if you ask me. But at the end of the day, the selection committee made the decision that they did. I just don't like the way that people are trying to defend it. We can agree to disagree and have different opinions, but don't, you know, pee on me and tell me it's raining.
RG3 here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then let's talk about the quartet that's going to be in Manhattan trying to get that trophy that you have, in your case, the Heisman Trophy. What is your opinion of this final group of four kids coming to Manhattan, Robert?
Well, Rich, I think all of them are qualified and deserving of being there in New York. I'm not the guy that's going to go out and point and say, well, this guy should have been there, not this guy. I will tell you that Malik Nabers probably should be in New York, and that Jordan Travis from Florida State probably should be in New York, but I'm not going to say that in spite of any other candidate that is in there. The three quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix Jr., a.k.a. Big Penix Energy, they've all had amazing years. Penix led the country in passing yards. Bo Nix was electrifying, 40 passing touchdowns. And you look at Jaden Daniels, I just think that he was the biggest cheat code in all of college football this year. Similar numbers to Bo Nix when it comes to passing touchdowns and yards, but he had 1,000 yards rushing, 10 rushing touchdowns, put him at 50 touchdowns on the year. He had a year that I don't think we've ever seen in college football from a quarterback. And I think he set the NCAA record for QBR in a single season. He's just efficient from the pocket, game-breaking speed. But all these guys were phenomenal. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. is out there playing like his daddy. So, you know, I kind of say sometimes you say that he looks like Marvin Harrison, ate Marvin Harrison, but it's not like he's fat. You know what I mean? It's more like Marvin Harrison sitting on Marvin Harrison's shoulders. He's just taller, bigger, a big dude with speed. All these guys are going to be if I was a decision maker, mm-hmm. every guy that's in New York would be a high draft pick. That's how much I believe in all three of the QBs, and certainly Marvin Harrison Jr.'s ability to be a wide receiver one in the NFL.
Is your vote in?
Oh, yeah, my vote's in. I can't disclose it, but my vote is in. I put it in after the championship games, which I encourage everyone to do. Watch everything before you make that decision, because I really felt like Bo Nix had a chance to win it. If Oregon had beaten Washington, it would have taken a lot. I thought he had to score at least 8 touchdowns to make it a conversation for him to win it, but they didn't win it. And I feel like that kind of puts him a little bit behind the 8-ball because he lost twice to one of the other Heisman frontrunners.
See, now I'll push back a little bit here because I know you love having conversations. So I'm going to give you one here. No, seriously, I really dislike conference championship Saturday. Okay. Because again, you know, half the Heisman Trophy finalists did not have an opportunity to give you one more closing statement, you know?
Right.
You know, obviously Daniels didn't make it, and I don't know if you're aware, Ohio State lost its last game, right? You're aware of that, Robert? I don't know if I'm breaking news to you. No, but in all seriousness, though, like Marvin Harrison didn't have an opportunity to show off his wares against a stout Iowa defense. Right. So I hate conference championship Saturday, and because I compare it to the final Saturday of the regular season. Iron Bowl, Apple Cup. You've got obviously Michigan, Ohio State, Farmageddon. Those are the four I keep mentioning. I would love to get conference championship Saturday out. Certainly, if it's going to affect a vote from somebody like yourself, Robert. You know.
Yeah. What I would say to that is, it's more of a you've earned the right to get another opportunity than the other guys not getting an opportunity to showcase themselves. In 2011, when we won the Heisman there at Baylor, we didn't play on conference championship Saturday. So those other guys had opportunities to showcase why they should win the Heisman, And for whatever reason, they did or they didn't. And for me, Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. both had a grand stage, everyone's eyes on only them to potentially win the Heisman Trophy. And you can say on one guy's behalf, and Penix, he probably did enough to convince some people. And then for Nix, on the other side of it, because he lost, he didn't. So I look at it from a standpoint of Caleb Williams was able to win the Heisman. I believe they played. Did they play on Conference Championship Saturday? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they did, and they lost, and he still was able to win. So I don't look at it the same way that you do, but I can certainly understand it. It's an advantage to be able to play on Conference Championship Saturday when everyone's watching, but can you take advantage of it? And it looked like last year that didn't happen for the other guys in Caleb Williams' class, and this year it may or may not have happened for the guys that are going up against Jaden Daniels.
CRG3, that's you being you right there. This is how excellent you are at what you do. I don't know if you guys just noticed, Robert pushed back with a very salient point in a conversation he had no idea was coming, while also, in a, I think, very humble way, pointed out he didn't need any conference championship game to win his Heisman Trophy. Did you catch that?
I did.
I know.
If you want to win
us,
the Heisman
though,
and you don't make conference championship games, just be so emphatically good at what you do before it, you can't be denied. Did I get that? Did I catch all that? Robert, right there.
You, that, the very astute observation.
Okay, that's what I do for a living. Okay, just one point.
And the reason I felt that way about Bo Nix going into this past weekend,
yes,
was he was going to need, I think he had 6 rushing touchdowns and he had 40 pass or 30 some odd passing going in. He was going to need like 8 touchdowns to even be in the same stratosphere as Jaden Daniels. So that's why I thought that had to happen. Or Michael Penix Jr. could have went out and did the same thing, mm-hmm, and been a Pac-12 champion. Because you know there's people who are going to vote along regional lines, conference lines, which I don't agree with. I think you should just pick the 3 best guys. But that's just the reality of it right now. And Michael Penix Jr. probably convinced some people because of their record and resume and showing up in big games that he can be the Heisman Trophy winner. So I'm interested to see how close the race actually is. But if you look at just purely by the numbers, Jaden Daniels is in a league of his own.
What is the more than a trophy campaign, Robert? What is that?
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the Heisman Trophy and who's going to get it this weekend. And I feel like some people are just a little confused and think that the Heisman Trophy Trust only gives out the Heisman Trophy. And then, that's it. We just get ready for the next year. And they're doing so much more. And that's what the More Than a Trophy campaign is really all about. It's about the Heisman Charitable Giving Program, which has given over $25 million to over 100 charities. It's about the humanitarian award that the Heisman gives out that this year is going to Solomon Thomas from the New York Jets. It's about, you know, my own foundation, the RG3 Foundation, and how the Heisman Trust has helped me be able to go out and attack food insecurity in underprivileged communities, whether they're in the city or in rural America. So I just want people to know that those things are going on, know that they can, you know, go find out more information. You can follow the Heisman Trophy on Instagram to figure out more information, or you can just hit me up on any of my social media and I can get you in contact with the people at the Heisman Trophy Trust to see how you can get back in your own communities. But there's so much more that the Heisman is doing. I'm blessed to be able to obviously speak on behalf of the Heisman and as a Heisman Trophy winner and work with them to continue to give back to the community.
You also get a room in the Heisman house for the rest of your life too, right? If I'm not mistaken, right?
That's a pretty good perk. I'm not going to lie. I thoroughly enjoy the Heisman house and the Heisman house commercials there. As well. It's fun. It gets the guys show their personality. And honestly, it's just, it's a fraternity that's like none other. I never take for granted being in the same room as Barry Sanders and Eddie George and guys that are more around my age and Tim Tebow's. It's a lot of fun to go there and work with them and then work with the new guys too. You know, Bryce Young coming to the house, Devontae Smith a few years back. We had Caleb Williams this year, and we'll have another guy that comes out of this Saturday with an opportunity to, you know, get broken into the house the right way.
Before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little pro with you, Robert. My colleague at NFL Network, NFL Total Access, David Carr, threw an idea out there yesterday saying that Jalen Hurts is clearly not himself and the offense can't be run to its max with him playing like that, and suggested with Hurts banged up, maybe Mariota is a better choice to run the offense. I can already see your facial expression. Our radio audience cannot. I'll now give you the floor. And
heavy shaking.
Heavy head shaking.
Heavy head shaking.
Oh, no.
All right, Robert, the floor is yours. What do you got?
Rich, are the Eagles 10-2, or did I miss something? Okay, I can agree with the fact that the Eagles' offense is not as dominant as it was last year. One of my colleagues used the phrase, they're not knocking anybody out, they're just winning by decision. I don't really care about that. I just care about the wins. Well, the thing that I think the Eagles need to focus on is the fact that they've moved away from their identity of being a run-first football team. This past week against the San Francisco 49ers, the game was 14-6 at halftime, but they had 25 drop-back passes and only 7 rushes by the running backs. So to me, that's them trying to attack the San Francisco 49ers because they have A.J. Brown and they have Devontae Smith and they have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts who they paid a lot of money to. But just because you paid him all that money doesn't mean you need to move away from what your identity is, which to me starts with Jason Kelce in the middle of that offensive line. Get back to running the football. Get back to tying in all of your concepts together. Like I would tell Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, he's a first-time NFL OC. Go back and watch the 49ers offense. Watch how Kyle Shanahan pieces together the running game and has that build into the passing game, giving teams similar formations and similar looks, and then running 4 to 5 plays off of those same looks. That's how you can truly attack a defense the right way. I'm not saying that he's not attacking it all the time the right way. He tends to get better throughout the course of games and allow the offense to get more in flow. But I think they could work on that. And it starts to me with getting in the trenches and getting ugly again. The Philadelphia Eagles can win ugly by just beating you up and running the football 45 times. They just haven't done that to the same effectiveness this year. And I think they got to get back to it.
Well, David's point is that the run game is predicated on Hurts' ability to run too and his threat to run from the RPO. And he's not up physically completely to be the Hurts that does get paid all that money. And that's where he says Mariota would come in and perhaps he'd be able to run it in a way that Hurts is seemingly unable to. Although, you know, Bills fans right now would say he looked pretty spry to me running into the end zone in overtime to end it. But I think that was David's point too, Robert.
Yeah. And I got to be clear here because I didn't really.
I'm paraphrasing.
No, you're fine. Yeah. I got to be clear here. I unequivocally disagree with David Carr.
Okay.
Now, I got a lot of respect for David. Don't get me wrong, but I unequivocally disagree with his assertion that Jalen Hurts should be pulled out so that Mariota can go so Hurts can get healthy. I saw some people saying that they should bench Hurts, and he didn't really say that. He just said that they should remove him until he gets healthy. So I want to make sure that, you know this, but there are some people out there saying that he said something he didn't say. But I disagree, and I do think that Hurts is healthy enough. Remember back in the day when Mike Shanahan, there was the whole viral clip of Shanahan making Terrell Davis go back in the game when he clearly had a concussion, right? And there's like a wired up version of him talking to TD and telling him, listen, I don't need you to carry the ball. I just need you to be a decoy, right? Now, the reason I tell that story isn't to, you know, make anybody look bad, but it's to say that for Jalen Hurts in the RPO quarterback zone read driven offense, he doesn't have to run for 100 yards a game. He's honestly running more right now. The last 2 weeks, he hasn't run a ton, but the previous 2 weeks before that, he was getting like 10, 15 carries a game. He's running more, but they're not doing it in the same way through the zone read. If he gets 5 yards on a zone read carry, I promise you the defensive coordinator is going to have a conniption. That's all they need him to do. Move the chains. You can run him in a smart way because he's not the most fleet-footed guy, but he's strong and he's a physical runner and he can slide. Let him get those quarterback zone read carries for 5, 6, 7 yards and then build upon that. You don't need him to be your primary ball carrier, but you do need to go back to that offense.
I was going to let you go, but my producers just hopped in my ear and said Zach Wilson was just named the starter for the Jets this weekend. And I just, you give me your 2 cents however you wish on that.
Yeah, so Robert. Zach Wilson's the starter of the Jets again, huh?
Yeah, he's that.
This is the funniest thing ever, Rich.
He's been named for the rest of the season too. They're not gonna mess with him. As long as he's healthy, he's gonna be the guy. for the rest of the year.
Full circle moment. I saw the clip of him and Aaron talking on the sideline, and Zach Wilson could not hide his emotions if he tried. I don't know what Aaron said, but it sounded like he said something like, and they thought you were the problem. And he's exactly right. When you put in Tim Boyle and you put in Trevor Siemian, you see the product that you got. You understand that, one, Zach Wilson is the best quarterback on the team, but we already knew that. And two, Zach Wilson is not the entire problem for that Jets offense, but we already knew that as well. Anyone who's watched the games knew that Zach Wilson wasn't playing like all pro, but he also wasn't the source of the issues. They can't run the football. They can't protect in the pass game. So now you're going to throw him out there. And my advice to Zach Wilson would be, go out there and let that dog hunt. You have nothing to lose. You're not going to be in New York next year. You might as well go out there, let this man drop back and try to throw the football 45 times, be the gunslinger that he can be, get Garrett Wilson involved, get your other passing weapons involved, throw screens to Breece Hall. And I think that this is it's funny to me because it reminds me of like the girl that moves on from you because she thinks that the grass is greener on the other side. And the Jets found out the grass ain't greener on the other side. And now they're running back to Zach Wilson and asking him, please, please save us. Well, their season's over now. But for Zach Wilson, he can save the rest of his career by going out and showing everybody that he's not scared to go be a playmaker.
Well, I mean, and you know, the play caller, though, is it's Rodgers' handpicked play caller, right, who's still there. And so it's on him, too. You know, you mentioned about, you know, line and other stuff. And if I'm Zach, you know, I would just say screw it. I'll audible. I'll just call whatever the hell I want. You know what I mean?
No,
I wouldn't mind that.
The system that Zach ran in college was a pro style three level play action based system. So yep. he's more used to what they should be doing, which is run the football, play action pass, RPOs. They're not really doing that. So I'm saying it facetiously that they should just go drop back and throw 45 times. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But Nathaniel Hackett has to also prove over these next couple weeks that he can build the system around Zach and what Zach does well. Because when Aaron comes back, Hackett's going to be fine. Aaron runs the damn offense. He's the one that's calling the plays. He's the one that's audibling out of everything. And I don't think Hackett's going anywhere because of that. But Hackett can get some people off of his back if he can put Zach Wilson in the best position to succeed.
Yep.
And we'll see if he can do it.
Robert, thanks again. Everyone can follow at Heisman Trophy on Instagram or visit Heisman.com to learn more about the great work the Heisman Trophy Trust does off the field. Have a great time this weekend. And I think I heard some kiddos in the background. Go be a dad. Thanks for the time. Nah.
Appreciate you, Rich.
You
God
got
bless,
the great Robert Griffin III, RG3 at RGIII. All right. So I talk about it coming up next?
I guess. I just want to say, Robert, the week before he didn't play his conference championship game, he had 4 touchdowns, 350 yards, and even punted.
So you caught that when he's just like, yeah, I didn't need it.
He literally did everything.
I won the trophy without needing it.
Do you guys also notice, though, when he said, he talked about Baylor, he goes, when we won the Heisman, I picked up on that. I thought that was really cool. It wasn't like I won the Heisman. It's when we won the Heisman.
He's one of my favorites. RG3, 844-204, Rich, number to dial. All right, Zach's back, baby. Zach's back.
Back in the New York group.
It's called a chopper.
Whose chopper is it?
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And
yeah, that's a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum.
Let's get inside of my father, John Glover. You know, we watched Talkville, and most of these episodes I never saw.
I didn't watch the show.
You never once saw yourself on Smallville.
In the beginning, I used to look at myself all the time and love to. And then as I get older, I stopped.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older.
I was going to talk to you about that because you're 79.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
11.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
These are my three favorite coaching cliches. I'd love to see a press conference where you nail all three of them within one press conference.
Can we double down? And what if I can pull it off in my next press conference in Indianapolis?
This is exactly what we're talking about. Yes, sir. So, all right. Ready for them? Here you go. This is number one. I don't have a crystal ball, guys. Okay? Like, that's what you said. I don't have a crystal ball. It's easy. It's whenever somebody asks you to predict the future. Like, for instance, how aggressive are you going to be in free agency? Then you say what?
Well, you see? I mean, if I had, I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
But, you know, as aggressive as what's best for the organization.
Very good. That's a good one. Very good. Okay.
Let's start.
Here's another one. It's as simple. You're going to nail this. It is what it is. It is what it is, guys. It is what it is, ladies. It is what it is, folks. You know, like, whatever you want to just throw it out there, it is what it is. That's another one.
Okay.
And then the third one is, I'm only talking about the guys that are here. That's it. I'm only talking about the guys here.
Well, so. I'm gonna triple down and say, what if I can do that all in the same statement in my Indy press conference this week?
Yes! Mike McDaniel!
Instant legend.
Yes!
My only request is when I do it,
yes,
mid press conference,
yes,
I wanna sprint up to the stage, high five.
Let's not forget, like, it is what it is. You know, I honestly, me personally, I don't have a crystal ball, you know, but really the only guys I can talk about are the players that are here today.
Yes, excuse me.
Pardon me.
Oh, hey, didn't see it. Boom.
Attaboy. Triple play.
How nuts is that?
Everyone was so confused.
Oh, hey, didn't see it.
From the Rich Eisen Show. We just showed Mike McDaniel's first appearances, plural, here on the program. He's about to make another one.
That's funny.
Coming up. I said I wasn't going to talk about the Jets again.
You said that
until Rodgers came back. Yeah,
I said that
Black Friday disaster. Here I am. Every time I think I'm out. Let me back. It's all right.
I would have played it.
That's
all right. I want you to say
it. I know.
It's better. It's sitting right here.
Because the quarterback.
I like hearing you play.
Eventually stays like a buffoon.
Everything comes back to the Godfather.
Zach Wilson is back. And not just back. He's a starter for the rest of the season. They don't care how Trevor Siemian or Brett Rippon might look in practice. It's Zach's gig. God bless him. They're putting him right back in the mix at home with the Houston Texans bringing their number two overall quarterback, who is the clear offensive rookie of the year for a team coached by a friend and acolyte of Robert Saleh. Don't forget who took over the defense in San Francisco when Saleh left to take the job for the Jets. That would be DeMeco Ryans, who's now bringing his number two overall drafted quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And, man, I wish that Zach Wilson has, even for a split moment, had even 50, 70% of a game that C.J. Stroud has put on the field this year. He hasn't, and part of the reason why is not him. Play callers and the line and the roster and everything else. And then his own inability to accept responsibility. That was last year. This year's totally changed man when it comes to that. He handled his benching like a pro, like a champ. He made appearances in front of the media as the number three quarterback talking about it. He has absolutely been pitch perfect there. Wish he didn't have to have a situation where he played like an untenably usable quarterback. He just couldn't use him anymore. And they had to see what they had in Tim Boyle. Well, he gone. And they're wisely not going to Trevor Siemian. And the word was Zach had questions about whether he should get back in there. And of course, that brought back echoes of last year that he wasn't a true pro. And all I would ask anybody that feels that way. Because if he truly said, I'm not going back in there, I think his professional starting career would be over for anybody. Now, I mentioned this on What the Football yesterday with Susie and Amy. And Amy Trask is like, well, there's always going to be some team that thinks we can fix him. We'll change his mind. We'll put him in there. And then we had a great conversation. Everybody should seek it out about how you're drafted in the league and how important it is. And the conversation, like, what if Mac Jones had gone to San Francisco instead of New England? Right?
I mean, the what ifs.
And what if Mahomes didn't get drafted by Kansas City and Andy Reid? What if he did go to Chicago instead? Yeah. Would he be the backup starting for the Steelers on Thursday night? Like Trubisky? I mean,
maybe.
Great conversation. This was unfortunately the way Zach Wilson was birthed in. What if Zach was told, or he's read the writing on the wall, he's gone for next year? And now they're going to say, yeah, we benched you all the way down to 3. We gave Tim Boyle the Black Friday start, not you. And now we want you back in there. And he knows he's gone. And that offensive line is banged up. Wouldn't you sit there and think for a second, or maybe ask somebody in your orbit, in your locker room that you trust, what should I do? What should I say if coach comes to me and says that? And then it gets out, which is why Rodgers, I think, used the word chicken S on ESPN yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it ain't pretty. And unfortunately for Zach, based on everything that I've seen, I don't think it's going to be pretty on Sunday either. And that could be particularly ugly because Stroud shows in, lights it up. Although the defense for the Jets has been the saving grace for the year. Hey, Zach, just 2 touchdowns. I know that's been saying that's like splitting the atom for the Jets lately. 2 touchdowns and just rip it. See it rip it. And I know that he made these throws into windows he shouldn't have, and it was really dumb and it was really frustrating. But maybe also hack it. How about you go to him and say, let's make the plays up. You go. What do you like? What do you got? Everything that we tried earlier that worked, let's do it again. What do you want to do, Zach? Let him friggin' make the plays up. I know it sounds stupid, but what else you got to lose? You're 4-8, and this kid, if he's not coming back, let's go. And then show up in Miami and put stuff out there that you haven't used before. I don't know. What do you got to lose? So I hope he kills it. He deserves it. What a season. I can't believe this is the way things are going for the Jets. Poof, as soon as that Achilles went. Speaking of the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel is coming up next. Bruce Feldman in studio. That's how we are rolling right here on this busy Wednesday. Oh, and I got my power rankings, too.
Hey.
Haven't even mentioned that.
Hey.
You get ready to start heckling?
Rich, I wake up heckling.
I know. But by the way, I've noticed. Certainly lately.
I got up at 3:45 this morning.
You
Sorry,
and me
man.
Both, bud.
Sorry, dude.
You and me both.
Sarah and Cage are going to Georgia.
I know.
They had a super early flight, and so I had to get up also with them.
I saw her crowdsourcing on her Twitter feed about, hey, anybody want?
Well, she said we have... Katie had a candy cane at the airport this morning. I don't know if that's good parenting, but it's fine. I'm not there.
The candy cane at the airport. Okay. I like it.
At 5 a.m.
Dude, at this point in time, you've got to tell Sarah whatever.
Because
you're not the one on the plane.
No, I know. So it was
you're
just,
not the one flying at the crack of dawn with a 3-year-old.
She came home with a giant bag of snacks, downloaded movies on the iPad. I don't care.
What do you care?
Whatever gets them there.
Honestly.
Yep. Yeah. So.
Hell yeah. You just got to let her do her own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly don't second guess her on the Rich Eisen show.
Definitely
I wasn't doing that.
While she's
I just
in
want
flight.
I was not doing that. Just want the record
right,
to
So we got Mike McDaniel coming up here on the program.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's he's in the Zoom, Rich.
Oh, is he?
he's got something to say to you.
Okay.
You took my sign. That's my sign.
All right.
I'm the best at it.
Is that right? Hold on a minute. Let's talk about it. How are you, Coach? Good to see you, Mike.
Great. I just
hold on.
Why are you impersonating me right now?
Uh-oh. I wouldn't move. I wouldn't move if I were you.
you loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I don't know that I would call it respect that I have for Sandoval, but the world hated him. He still went out, performed shows with his head held high. He showed up to the reunion when we all were going after him. Like, he didn't skip a beat. The way he's handling it, if I were in his position, and I said it straight up to the entire audience, thousands of people, I would tell you all to and the room was dead.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.